In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our gospel text for this day, we learn that Christ delivers us from death. Such deliverance is a fulfillment of a number of sections in the Old Testament, but maybe most explicitly is this passage from Hosea chapter 13, where the Lord says, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction." Our Lord, being followed by a large crowd, enters into the city of Nain. And as Christ and his following are entering the city gate, there is another procession moving the exact opposite direction. It is a funeral. And so when our Lord performs the raising of this man who has died, there is a crowd following him and a crowd following the casket that all witness this glorious miracle. And that is an interesting contrast to our reading from 1 Kings for this day. There are many similarities between the two accounts, where there is an only son of his mother who is a widow who has died. And after the raising back to life, he is returned to his mother. There are several key similarities, but there is also one key difference between the two accounts. For when Elijah raised the son of the widow of Zarephath, there was no audience. It was just the mother and her dead son and the prophets in the house. And this maybe should not be surprising to us, that when Elijah performed this raising of the son of the widow of Zarephath, that he did it in private, because Elijah's miracle was not a promise for all men. There was no deeper meaning to this raising that would apply directly to you, to promise somehow that Elijah would come and raise you from the dead. There is a deeper meaning to Elijah's miracle, but it is only applicable to us through Christ. And Elijah makes it pretty clear that though it is his miracle that he does, it is done only at the mercy of the Lord, not because of Elijah's power. And this raising of the son of the widow of Zarephath is done for the benefit of the widow and her son. That's it. There is no further direct application to us. In contrast, Christ's raising of the son of the widow of Nain in our gospel text for today is quite public. As we have said, there was a large crowd following our Lord, just as there was a large crowd from the city following the funeral procession. Our Lord's miracle, in this case, was done publicly so that two great crowds witnessed it. And this is significant because our Lord's miracle, unlike Elijah's, is a promise for all men. Our Lord's miracle reveals that Christ delivers from death all those who believe in him, not just this son of the widow of Nain. The public display, both of this funeral and of the raising of this man, shows how death has come into the world and has permeated all men. And yet our Lord's public miracle of raising this dead man demonstrates that this one, Jesus Christ, unlike those who have come before him, has power over death for you. So that we might more fully understand and appreciate the power over death that our Lord Jesus Christ has, let us take some time to consider the three kinds of death of which the Scriptures speak, so that we may understand how our Lord delivers us from each of these three kinds of death. The first kind of death is physical death. It is the most obvious kind of death, and it is most obviously what is on display in both the reading from 1 Kings and our gospel text from Luke chapter 7. The son of the widow of Nain has died. The breath of life has left his body, and therefore his body and soul have been separated in physical death. But our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates his power over physical death. He touches this son's coffin. He speaks his all-powerful word, and therefore the son is raised to newness of life. In the same way that our Lord raised the son of the widow of Nain from physical death, so too will he raise you and all believers from physical death on the last day. But we must note that Christ does not deliver believers from physical death by exempting them from it. Christ does not deliver us from physical death by causing us to not have to undergo it. Thus our Lord says in John chapter 11, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Unless our Lord returns first, your death is certain. But our Lord's promise is that he will strengthen you when your last hour shall come with his Holy Spirit and with his word, so that you may depart in consolation and peace, knowing and trusting that the miracle that we read of in Luke chapter 7 will happen for you on the last day. You will be raised from physical death. For Christ delivers those who believe in him from physical death. He allows that physical death to become our portal to life eternal. And through this physical death, we are transformed. Our lowly bodies, that is, are transformed to be like Christ's glorious body. And so we must be clear when we speak of physical death that our Lord delivers us from it not by exempting us from physical death, but by raising us to new life on the last day. This is the first kind of death of which the Scriptures speak. The second kind of death of which the Scriptures speak is eternal death. This is the, quote, second death spoken of in Revelation chapter 2. It is eternal separation from God, who is the source of life. The second death, eternal death, is the death of damnation. It is the punishment for all sin. It is the death that you and I deserve because of our sins. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. That is to say, the wages of sin is eternal death. And yet, our Lord Jesus Christ promises to deliver us and even exempt us from this eternal death, so long as we cling to him in faith. For the Apostle Paul tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so it is with this second kind of death, eternal death in mind, that our Lord says to the grieving widow of Nain, who has lost her only son, he says, "Do not weep." For a death, a physical death, that is temporary, ought not be mourned as if it were permanent. Now it's interesting because Christ weeps at the tomb of Lazarus. But Christ weeps at the tomb of Lazarus because the weight of death that he sees there in Lazarus' body will soon come upon him, because our Lord was preparing to bear the weight of sin and death unto the cross. And not just the weight of physical death, but Christ bore the weight of eternal death upon the cross for Lazarus and for you. And so Christ weeps at the tomb of Lazarus, but he does not allow the widow of Nain to weep at her son's funeral, because the weight of eternal death is not hers to bear, nor is it her son's to bear. Yes, physical death is the real burden that we all must bear. But the weight of eternal death does not fall upon our shoulders. Rather, it falls upon him who died the death that we deserve. Therefore, Christ bids you, just as he did the widow in our gospel text, do not weep at physical death. For I have borne the pain of eternal death for you, so that you might be delivered from its power. This is the second kind of death of which the Scriptures speak. The third and final kind of death of which the Scriptures speak is spiritual death. And this is the kind of death that I'm afraid we are prone to forgetting about. We know about physical death. We even know about eternal death. But there is a third kind of death of which the Scriptures speak. A third kind of death that is present in this life, a spiritual death, whereby a person can be a walking dead man. Perhaps the best example of this is in our Lord's parable of the prodigal son. The younger son rejects his father, takes his inheritance, and walks away, recklessly spending it in prodigal living. And yet this prodigal son is a walking dead man while he is living in such sin. Our Lord makes this clear in the dialogue between the father and the older brother at the end of the parable when we read, "Your brother was dead and is alive now that he has returned. He was lost, and now he is found." And so there is a third kind of death, one which is silent and unassuming. It's all around us, and so we often don't notice it because it is not always visible to the eye. But spiritual death is deadly, even more so than physical death. Because spiritual death is what leads to eternal death. And this spiritual death is a death from which anyone can be awakened in this life, but it is also a death into which anyone can fall in this life. And so those who are not rooted and grounded in Christ's love, those who lose heart at the tribulations of this world, those who allow unrepentant and willful sins to alienate them from God, such people are walking dead. They are spiritually dead, though their body remains alive. They are destined for not just the first death, but also the second eternal death. My friends, this is why we must know the Ten Commandments, so that we can daily flee from the sins which it prohibits. We must daily flee from idolatry and sexual immorality and even those other sins that seem less significant and less of a big deal, like gossip and slander and so many other kinds of sin. We must daily flee from such sins, because these sins, if not repented of, will lead us into spiritual death and beyond. But more than knowing the commandments, this is why we must be, according to the apostle, rooted and grounded in Christ's love, so that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. For Christ Jesus, our Lord, is the only begotten Son who not only stopped the funeral procession of the son of the widow of Nain, but he also exchanged places with that son. He went to death, not just physical death, but even enduring the weight of eternal death for that son and for you. My friends, this is the heart of the Christian faith. Christ delivers us from death by his own death. For it is in Christ and him crucified that God has visited his people. It is in Christ that true victory over death in all of its forms is found. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.